you've gone serving. Do you remember that? If you weren't here, there'll be some messages that you can, last week's message that you can access on a podcast. And I didn't get to everything that I wanted to get to, but I texted as many as of you as I could remember and WhatsApped, and I think it's on the website as well. I said, we may cover something controversial this Sunday, and that's partly me, because I think that the body of Christ could do with a little bit of stirring up. And it's also true, because I want to touch on, God willing, get to some things towards the end that might really impact us a little and impact our hearts. And I want that to happen. I want for us to really be engaged with the world that we're in, and to realize that we're living in a real world, and that all the fun we have, which is great fun. Look, I should have some more fun before I start. Just to, how many people have? Who's here for the first time? Never been here before. My sister, remind me your name from Moldova. Yeah, are you ready? Can you catch? Funke. Funke. Nearly. There you go, that's for you. Who else is here for the first time? Second time, I'll let you off. Nice one. Who else is here for the first time? Anderson. You just get it for being bold. All right, anyone else here for the first time? I love it. No, there was someone else. No, you've been here before. Yeah, several times. But you like chocolate. All right, there you go. Go on. Got to have some fun. And we need to provide the people at the back. I'm going to send all these. Look, there's a whole bunch of Aero eggs and stuff. Owen, could you send these to all the people at the back? We better give one to Darmony. These guys do an amazing job. They're all high school students, except for Ryan, and who's a hardworking guy. But they're in early, making stuff happen, and we really appreciate it. Give them a big hand. Would you do that? So, you know, I just feel like as a leader, we've got to have more fun than most Christians are comfortable with, because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and joy is a real thing. It's just kind of being like happy about life, not positive and not morose. And we also have to face the very real issues in life. And, you know, the context of this talking about serving is that I want us to live the very best lives that we can. I may have said it last week, I think. But it's absolutely true that my greatest reward in my life, what I give my life for, is to see as many people as I can, which especially includes you and whoever else God adds to us and permits us to influence through the different things we do, e-thoughts and whatever we can do. I want for you to run your race down here so brilliantly that when you get to heaven, you get a great reward from God. That's really the greatest motivation in my life. And if you enter into those gates and hear, well done, good and thankful servant, then I will be a very happy person. That's what I'm really carrying in my heart. And in order to for us to do that, we do have to talk about some very real issues. We talked about love. We talked a little bit about kind of vision introductory. We talked about the power of love, the awesomeness of love 2 weeks ago. And again, you'll get that podcast if you want, where we really challenged people on what love really looks like. And how, whether we just love who is easy to love, or whether we genuinely feel love for unlovely people, and how the Lord wants that kind of conversion in our hearts. And then we talked about service, and today, this week, I'm talking about serving with love, practical truths. So we're going to go through some really straight practical truths on areas of serving, because you'll remember that Jesus said the greatest is... Yeah, that's true. And then in Mark 9, when the disciples were walking together and arguing amongst themselves who was the greatest. Do you remember that? We talked about it last week. And they're arguing amongst themselves who's the greatest. They're literally saying, you know, I think I'm probably a greater servant here, Peter, than you are. And, you know, John would probably say, well, you know, that's all very nice, but he's reclining on Jesus' chest. I think I'm the closest. And then there were James and John, who wanted to sit on the right and left-hand side of Jesus in heaven. I mean, these guys wanted stuff. And Jesus didn't have a problem with people wanting lives to count to be something great. But then he used that pretext, that basis, to say, actually, what's really great is serving. And if you want to be the greatest, you're going to have the servant of all. And you'll remember that. And I want you to be the greatest that you can, which means I'm going to encourage you to be the best servant that you can. And today we're going to talk about what that really looks like practically, because most Christians I know would agree with that in terms of principle. They'd say, yeah, Jesus said that. Yeah, we believe that. Yeah, we think serving's a good thing. But I want us to look at what that really breaks down to. Are you ready? Here we go. Let's go. We've got, I think, 6 or 7 slides, I think. The practicals of serving. Here we go. Serving God is always tested and proven in serving a man or a woman God sent. Let's have a look at a couple of verses of Scripture. My Bible will be somewhere. Have you got it? Have you stolen it, Daniel? It ain't here no more. I should be. It's okay. Oh, I got yours. What version is it, though? I'm fussy.
New King James. Yeah, that's all right.
Okay. Come on, have a look at your Bibles. Turn there. Just a little interesting. We've got to move pretty quickly because I've got a few things to get through. 1 Corinthians 4. If you don't have a Bible, it would be great to get one. And if you didn't bring it, it would be a really good idea to bring it. This will keep happening. This is physics. It's a dynamic where I'm turning the page and the wind that's created is blowing off this slightly light piece of paper. So I'm going to pick the paper up. 1 Corinthians 4. Let's have a look at a couple of verses. Somebody else turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Lucille, you can do that. You're good reading the Bible. 1 Corinthians 4. Are you with me? You're all very quiet out there. Are you with me? Yeah. Are you ready? Or has that opening statement upset you? I sure hope not. Serving God is always tested and proven in serving a man or a woman that God has sent. 1 Corinthians 4:12, 4:1 and 2 says this, let a man consider us. Paul's speaking about his own life, and he says,
getting warm. Is anyone warm?
Good. Too warm? It was cold last week, wasn't it? Let a man so consider us. So Paul is speaking on behalf of himself and Timothy, and he says, guys, this is how you should look at us. Servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, God's entrusted us certain mysteries, and we're to steward those. Moreover, it's required that stewards be found faithful. They need to be true to the one who entrusted them with these things. With me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. I don't know of anything against myself, yet that I'm not justified by this. He who judges me is the Lord. And there's a very interesting kind of perspective Paul has on himself in terms of his faithfulness to the one who sent him. And one of the things that God seems to have put on my life, because it comes up a lot, is just the importance of recognizing that God sends people to the earth and that they're sent to bless you and to help your life. They're gifts from God. That's the word used in Ephesians 4, 11, 12 and 13 in there. So he's talking about this very distinct sense that God sends people, doesn't make them more important than anyone else. Are you with me? Are you with me? Everybody is equally valuable and precious to God from the least to the greatest. Yes? No question. But God anoints people to do certain things, which is his prerogative. And it's important that we recognize what God is doing. The whole of 1 John talks a lot about this, where it says you've got to discern that which is from God, your spirit, that which is from the Spirit of God, and that which is not from the Spirit of God. There are people standing in pulpits today in our nation that are not from God at all. God never sent them, and they shouldn't be in those pulpits. That's just a fact. And then there are other people that should be in pulpits, but they're not in them. So we have to recognize that, and we don't think that way. We just think, oh, well, he's the church leader or he's the pastor, and therefore, you know, we should just do what the pastor said, or we should flow along, or we should give him the kind of respect that a pastor should get, or whatever. And that's kind of okay. That's a very ABC's infant, low-level kind of approach to life. It's okay, but it doesn't have any great depth to it. You're actually supposed to be able to recognize that God sends people. And you need to be able to see who God has sent. Jesus, when he introduced himself, said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he has anointed me too. And his premise, his basis for ministry is, God's anointed me to do something. Now, God's anointed all of you to do things. And it's important for you to know what you're anointed to do. And it's important for you to be able to recognize who God has anointed to do different things. Some people are anointed to teach. Some people are anointed as prophets. Some people are anointed as apostles. Some people are anointed as pastors. And it's important to recognize that anointing. That's not something that we, you know, just a few Christians. We should know that. Because if you can't recognize that, Paul's saying, well, that's you're supposed to be able to tell. I'm sent from God. Are you with me? And there's a certain level at which in our country and in other countries, people might think, well, that's very self-important, isn't it, saying you're sent from God? But actually, you ought to be able to say that about yourself with great confidence because you are sent by God. You see, you can believe the same truth with an attitude of humility or with an attitude of arrogance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that's what he says. Then in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, have you got it there, Lucille? Do you want to read it out for us?
For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe.
So Paul was on a trip, went to Thessalonica, and he writes them a letter. He's writing to them. He wasn't there for very long. He got persecuted there, maybe 6 months at the most. He then traveled down to Corinth, and then he wrote a letter from either Corinth or Rome, I forget, back to Thessalonians, encouraging them to keep the faith. He hadn't been there very long. And then he says, now, I'm always thanking God for you because you accepted the words that we brought. So that was him. Timothy was with him. Luke might have been with him, I think, at that point. Silas might have, I forget, but a small group of guys. He said, you accepted that word not as the word of man, but as it was in truth the word of God. And that makes a lot of difference. You see? So we've got to be aware. There are some people that in the world, you know, and I'm not a massive fan of Christian TV particularly or God TV, or there are some things that can be helpful and there's some things that I think are not helpful, but that's another thing. That's a whole other matter. But there are some people that are in that role or that I will listen to gladly as often as I can because I can perceive they're sent by God. There are other people that I can't watch for more than 15 seconds because there's something fundamentally wrong with the way they're approaching it and they shouldn't be there. And it's not I'm not going to mention names because that doesn't matter. And ultimately, it's not my job to judge. God can do all the judging. All I'm saying is that everything on Christian TV doesn't have God's spirit or approval on it. Are you with me? And we have to be a little bit discerning about that. That's not to hate people. That's not to put people down. You get to choose what you listen to. You get to choose what church that you go to on a Sunday morning, where you're going to get connected, where you're going to commit yourself and all that stuff. That's your choice. God doesn't make you do anything. But you should, fundamentally in your choosing, shouldn't be, well, we just have a lot of fun, you know, or the guy's wife is really good looking, or the music is great. They're all good things. But ultimately, the biggest thing is, did God send this person or not? That's what you need, because I wouldn't want to be connected with somebody that God didn't send. All right. The fruit and service and success of your life is going to be tied to the person that you're serving. The more they are walking with God, the more effective. Some people have a real heart for God, but they get connected to people that are not effectively serving God as they might. And that diminishes their ability to serve God. There was an old idea when I was a young person. It was like, you know, when I was a young person, the spirit-filled churches, the charismatic churches, the kind of thing we're enjoying here on a far wider level than we used to, was a little unusual, a little atypical, and people were suspicious of it. Not so. That's partially true now, but certainly nothing like it was then. And the idea, you know, a lot of people would receive, for instance, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, that whole world that opens up, which is a phenomenal gift that you want to embrace and you want to run with. But a lot of people would receive that gift in a place like this, but feel like somehow loyalty or whatever, we're going to stay in this other church, which really, in that case, wasn't very alive, wasn't believing in that, wasn't practicing that, but kind of we have to be faithful and stay with that, and which is not really a healthy situation at all. Because if you're going to be in a church believing something different to what the leadership believes at a core level, and you're staying there because you believe that the leadership has to change to think the way you think, then you're in the wrong church. Because it's actually manipulation. You're actually trying to shift. It's not your job. Go somewhere where the leader is better than you at what you want to be and is modeling the kind of life that you want to live. and get a little bit off of God told me to go here or God told me to go there. We're going to talk about that at the end, because a lot of that becomes what we're really doing is we're really choosing, but because we want to sound spiritual, we say, well, God told me. And it's all right for you to choose. It's also all right for God to tell you. But most of the time, he doesn't do that. We'll talk about that at the end. Am I provoking you enough yet? Bear with me. Let's keep going here. Next. Serving means carrying it in your heart. When you serve properly, serve in love, serving is not, yeah, okay. So Owen wants, and I need to get some people to stand up, like Owen, stand up quickly, Owen, see there. Stand up there quickly, Ryan. Would you? David Gibbs, can you stand up quickly? Caroline, can you stand up? Where's Sam, where are you? Is he with the kids? All right, I need him here. He needs to be here. Can you get him? And, yep, you. And you can stand up. He's up here. Where's Maisel? Okay, there you go. Good. And who else have we got here? And Sophine and Daniel. See all these guys? These all help us here serving in the house. Owen's coming and Sam's coming. They all help help me, help Carrie and I take responsibility for different areas. And they could do with as much help as possible. Kids, could we do with lots more help? Absolutely. Set up, arrangement, all how this works and the nice seating that you're sitting in and the fact that it's carefully measured in distance from the seats in front of you. Somebody made all that happen. Dan really assists Dave in that area. So they, if you want to get involved in serving, these are people to see. Sophine, who really oversees the audiovisual area that the guys serve in. Samuel there, you're staying down, aren't you? Are we short somebody? Okay, how many we got up there? How many adults? Except, including you? Okay, you don't need to be up there then. Stay here. Unless there's something crucial. No, okay. Unless something crucial, stay here. Yeah. Okay, Ryan, did I mention Ryan? Sound desk. So all that kind of area, sound desk, we're training up people. Darmini over here helps with the sound desk, leaves on a bus from Isleworth at some ungodly hour to be here while she's doing her A2, second year A-levels. Ethan down there, woo, 13, 14, 12. 12, getting involved in the sound desk, helping down there. So all those things, we just want to encourage you to be involved in helping in whatever way you can. These are just people that you can connect with and look at them, run to them after the service, run and say, please, can I be on your team and help you? All right, you can be seated now, so thanks. Awesome. So carrying it in your heart. So when you serve people, if you just arrange it, Sam, so that they're fine without you. Can you do that? Arrange it so they're fine without you. Yep, you sort it out, Carrie, thanks. All right, so serving means you carry something in your heart. You've got to, in other words, it's not just saying, okay, Dave Gibbs, you know, we've worked out every second week I'm on here at 8 o'clock, and so I come and help, and it's like I'm here. Oh, it's 8:05. Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, I just... And it's that it's you carry it in your heart. It's a joy to serve. I could quote someone that's got far more impact than me, Brian Houston. When I was in the meetings with him, and I have been lots of times over the years because we're from the same country, and been in the toilet with him, you know, nothing inappropriate, but just so you know. And I remember Brian preaching about this many years ago, and it's Psalm 100 verse 5, I think, and it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness," and Brian adds, "And if not, don't worry." If you're not going to do it gladly, then don't bother. And that's really a good word. That's a good advice. You need to get your heart involved in what you're doing. Otherwise, you're going to end up feeling after a few weeks or a few months, oh, this is too much like hard work. I don't really want to do that. And you're better not to do it because you'll be counterproductive to yourself and to the team and the church and the Lord, ultimately, that you're serving. So you have to guide your heart. Your life will be what you want to do, ultimately. All right, let's go to the next one. You'll never be a good or God-approved leader unless you have been a God-trained servant. You might have heard that principle before, but it's true. God leadership is really important to God. because leadership cares for people. So I'm responsible. And Paul talks like that. He says, and I carry with me every day the burden of the churches. And I know the faith and the grace message of that we cast our burdens on the Lord, and I get that, and that's true. But at the same time, when you have a heart for people, when they hurt, you hurt. When they're out of work, you feel it like you're out of work. When it matters, you see. Leadership is important. And people's lives depend on the quality of the leadership that's there. And I'm a big believer in us all being all whatever level of leader we can and influencer we can. But if you really want to be someone that God's approved, he's always going to test you by serving somebody else before he releases you, because that's called provenness. That's exactly the same. That's what car manufacturers do. The Bible talks a lot about fire refining gold. And how, I think in the first book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2 in there, it'll talk about how God refines us. He purifies our heart. That the trials we go through, part of that process is to deal with things in our heart that we don't even sometimes know are there, but they need to be sorted out. They need it to be, not sorted out, it's not the right word. They need to be purged, perhaps. It talks about how when you heat gold, you know, all the dross comes to the top and then they scrape it off. And God does exactly the same with us. Now, the purity of that gold is worth more than any gold on this earth. But we got to realize there's a process that goes through it when we get there. You also can't determine timings of God in regard to this. You can't just say, well, I've served for 3 months, I've served for 6 years, it's time for me. God will have his hand on all that kind of stuff. And usually, if you're young and hungry and keen to serve God, which is exactly what I was like, I've maintained the zeal. But I tell you, it always takes longer than you think. It just always, you just think you're ready way before. But I love a word that somebody said, and I forget who it was, that said, you know, there's nothing in the preparation of God that he has for your life that is wasted. He's not wasting any time, but he's not in a hurry. All right, let's go to the next one here. I think this is the third. True serving will be. This is what true serving's like. Harder work than you ever did before, inconvenient, uncomfortable, and unappreciated. And that's testing you as to whether you're doing it unto God. That Colossians 3:23, if you want to write it down, it says, everything you do, do it as if you're doing it to God. And that's what happens. If it's only comfortable, if it's only at the time that suits me, if it's only in the field that suits me, then it's nothing's really being tested in your life. And now you can understand why people like Lester Sumrall, who was one of the great leaders of last century and someone I had the privilege of meeting with a couple of times and talking to. And I remember him talking about the same thing, and he went home to be with the Lord at 87. I think he'd been 83, and he started in ministry at 17. So he was 60-something years in ministry all over the world, one of the most respected leaders of all Christian history, really. And Lester would say, the same experience that all leaders have had all around, which is, you know, he said, if you put on a great show or you preach a good message or you do something exciting, people will come. But he said, you know, you try and find what he called a bus captain, you know, someone who would lead the buses. So we would pick people up from different parts of the community in a bus. He said, you try and find somebody to organize that, just one person to serve on that and see what a problem you've got on your hand. It's just not that easy to find servants, but I'm encouraging us to dig deep in our hearts and to be that as unto God. Okay, let's go. Next point is, true serving will involve this. So when you're serving, this is, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about my experience in a minute, but this is what it's like. Serving means giving people what they want, the way they want it, when they want it, with joy and reliably. You ready to serve? And you know, it's kind of like, it's like if you work, say you worked at McDonald's, which is an inspiring position for anyone, and you're going to flip their burgers and put their buns on and whatever, and or Burger King or any of these guys, and you're going to get $6.45 or whatever it is per hour for doing it, and you know, if you're lucky, you might get some of the cold leftovers at the end of the day. I don't know what they do with that, or the old leftovers. I don't know what they do. But, you know, when you work there, they're going to expect you to be there the time they want you to. They're going to, you know, if your shift starts at 6 a.m., that's when it starts. And they're really not interested in whether you think that the fillet of fish burger has too much mayonnaise on it, or that we should or shouldn't put pickles in the Big Mac. They're going to want you to do it just exactly the way they've prescribed to do it. And if you turn up and say, God's told me, or this is what I think, we shouldn't do this anymore, you're not going to have a job. And we get it in the real world, but we don't get it in the Christian world. That's the way it is if you're going to get £7 an hour. And it's not any different, except that the privilege of serving God is a way greater privilege than flipping McDonald's burgers. But the principle, amen, yeah. But the principle remains the same and even more true. You know, they have a bunch of people that have determined how burgers are to be built within their company. And whether they're right or wrong, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is just to turn up and serve with a smile on your face, reliably when you said you'd be there. And if you don't like the burgers that they serve or you don't agree with them, then go and serve them somewhere else. Go to Big Mac. Burger King. Or go to Nando's or something. And if you don't like any of them, then start your own. And if you couldn't be bothered doing that, then, dare I say it, sit down and shut up. Because we've got a world full of opinions about how everything should be done. And the Christian church suffers from this. This should be done this way and this should be done this way. But actually, at the end of the day, God actually puts people in place. That doesn't make me perfect. It doesn't make Brian Houston perfect. It doesn't make John Miller down the street here perfect. It doesn't make Peter Prothero over in... None of us are perfect, but we are or we aren't called by God to lead. Are you with me? And God has a structure. He has a plan. There are some things in my heart for Staines that are significant that I know. There's a whole lot of things that are going to happen in Staines that I don't know yet, but I'm just following the guy that's leading me. And I would to God that you would become better followers of Jesus than I would. But I know the principles that he's going to test you out and find out if you can actually serve an imperfect human being before you say, well, God told me. Are we helping anybody here? Is this good? Just as well I don't preach like this every week, isn't it? It could be fairly challenging. Okay, but that's the deal. Give them what they want. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my experience, just so you know where I've been. For 19 years, I served my pastor, leader, a real apostle in Australia, who now oversees, I think, 300-odd churches and 100,000 people or something like that or more, I don't know. But I was a young man and I got involved in that church when I was 22 and served there till I was 41, even though I was here at 36 over the first 5 years, I continued to do that. And so I had a fair bit of experience. I was young. I felt like I was called by God. I felt like I was supposed to change the world. I felt like I was supposed to preach and make a great difference everywhere. But I went through the whole serving process with this guy, and these are some of the realities of what you've done. So I was with a young family, 3 children, young wife, and we did things like this. We moved house to be closer to there because that was the center of our lives, what we were doing, our expression of God. There's a lot of time involved. We used to live about a 40-minute drive. Then we moved and cost us a bit of money to do that, but we made it. And I'm not saying you should do this. I'm just telling you. We moved so we were about 10 minutes away. And then when I was young and on staff as a minister, the day off was Monday and you were available all the other days. And if the boss was doing something on Monday and wanted you to be there, I would just throw myself in. I'm just going to be there. And we'd have Rodney Howard Brown or Lester Sumrall or all these kind of famous, John Avanzini and Joyce Meyer and all these people come and minister there and do that, you know. And we would do 3 and 4 and 5 nights in the week, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. And I've got a young family. But the requirement was, if you're a minister, if you're a part of this team, you're there. So that was just a part of the price you made. You pay babysitters, you do whatever you have to do to be in the house of God. When we were there on Sundays, we used to do 3 services on Sundays, and each of the services was probably 2.5 hours. And I'm there early, and I've got to be there early to welcome people, and then I could be called on at any time to receive the offering, to do this or that, or I'm hanging to do the offering and I'm just hanging to preach, but I've just got to sit there week after week because someone else that I think isn't as good as me is up there. And you go through all that, not for months, but for years, just serving. And God is testing my heart. And I wasn't always all that happy about it. But you don't know that until you go through a thing where you're not comfortable. One of the challenges, I remember the week we released an album that became a very, you know, big name kind of album from our church over there. And because we were doing the album release, we had the 7:30 earlier service was in a separate building. So we had 7:30 service, 7:30 in the morning starts, 9:30, and then 6 normally. And we'd have the 7:30 was in the adjoining building because we were setting it up for this, recording this album on video and all this stuff. And so I'm preaching at the 7:30 service. So I'm thrilled about that. I'm there in the front row and the boss is next to me there. And he's like, he's the boss, and he says, would you like to lead this whole service? He probably had other things on his mind. Would you like to, you be okay? Just to, I said, yeah, sure, that would be fine. Like trying to be humble, you know. And he was really angry at me. He was like, look, if I give you an opportunity to do this, it's not like, yeah, it will be fine. I want, you know, enthusiasm. Thank you very much. And I felt terribly smited. I was probably 30 or something. And so he promptly got up and led the whole service and wasn't very happy about that, you know, and then couple of hours later, he said, you all right with all that? Yeah, all right, good. And so I'm not saying that. Now, we have to be careful, you see, because I still remember that. But I have a choice as to whether I carry that around in my heart and stay offended or whether I accept the fact that people are people. None of them are going to be perfect, but God still sent this person. And actually, maybe God's allowing some of these things happen to refine my heart to become what God has in store for me to become, instead of thinking about it at a human level and just getting offended because somebody did something that I didn't particularly enjoy. Are you with me there? So here's another example of what we used to do. Sometimes there was a big social group, a lot of young people, and we'd go to the boss's place and he had a swimming pool. And so there's like 50 of us there, I suppose, or something like that. And it's a bit of kind of a party. We're pretty, you know, having fun. But then the boss is like, these beach ball things, they got lost or broken or something and there weren't any there. So it's like, I still remember the situation. I remember the guy's name. So he said, look, can somebody go and get me a beach ball, you know? So obviously you want to stay there, you want to be in the party, but all us handful of young servers, we're like, yeah. And one of the other guys went, drove off, came back like 20 minutes later and said, I couldn't find any. And the boss wasn't happy about that. And I get that because you just make it happen. I don't care if you build the thing yourself. You just make it happen. So I said, I will get it. And I go, and you just drive from garage to garage and service station to service station, missing the food, missing the fun, missing the pool. Because my joy is to give him what he wants, the way he wanted, and to be proud of the fact that I served well. Are you with me? Are you with me still? So, and there's all kinds of other stories I could tell you about those kinds of things. Picking up late nights, I'm going to preach here, so-and-so. You know, can you pick me up? So I'd pick him up whatever time, you know, wife and kids stay home, or sometimes the wife would come, and we'd drive, you know, and he'd be preaching till 12 o'clock somewhere, an hour and a half, you know, west, and I'm just there, sitting there in the meeting, driving him home, taking care, look after the car, anything I can get for you, coffee you want, music you want, da-da-da-da-da, all those kind of things. It's just serving. See, that's what serving is. Are you with me still? You're hanging in there? All right, let's go to the next one. One of the reasons serving is the greatest. I'm slightly more positive here for you. You ready? One of the reasons serving is the greatest is, listen, this is important. It earns you a reward from God in heaven. Did you know that? So that's why I said last week, I know I stepped on a few toes last week. I did. But I'm believing in healing for all of you. I really am. But I think I said last week something like, you know, there's going to be way too many Christians that are going to get to the end of their lives and get before God and they'll get to heaven, but they won't have much of a reward. And that's true. And I don't want that to happen for you. And like I say, if I preach this every week, it would be fairly, you know, what's he going to say this week? Ooh. But the truth is it earns you a reward from heaven. And the reward you receive in heaven will far outweigh what you give up here and the price you pay here. You never want to forget that. So have a quick look in your Bibles because you need some inspiration. 2 Corinthians 4:16. And Lucille, can you just have a look at Romans 8:18? Can you pull that up? And if you want to write that down, that's another great verse. Still happening. Romans 8:18 is the other one you want to write down. And 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. And faith is that we believe the Bible, isn't it, folks? Yeah? No? A couple of people are still with me. Is faith that we believe what the Bible says? It is, see? Faith is believing the Bible. So let's have a look at what the Bible says here. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Now, if you've got this whole list of everything he's been through, we have this, we are hard-pressed. Just let me read you. This is Paul, okay? So just put yourself in this position. We're hard-pressed on every side, not crushed. We're perplexed. We don't know what we're doing, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. And then I think, oh, yeah, poor Paul, you know. The boss was a little bit harsh on him one day back in 1991 or whatever it was. And you know what I mean? We can feel like that. Oh, it was a bit tough. Oh, you know, we used to start at 8 and now we want to start at 7. He wants us to get here at 7 on a Sunday morning. And then I think about Paul. We're perplexed but not in despair. We're persecuted but we're not forsaken. We're struck down but we're not destroyed. We're always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And then it says, he says, and therefore, in view of this, we don't lose heart. Now get the therefore. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man's being renewed day by day. Our light affliction, everyone say light affliction. It's just light. Don't believe it's any worse than that. It's just a light affliction, which is but for a moment, just a short life, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, there are some people that are going to walk into heaven with a massive, heavy cloak of glory on their lives. That it'll be way heavier than the little bit of tough times we endured down here. Are you with me? And I want you wearing a coat like that. But this is the kind of thing that it takes, you see. Do you want to read that one? Romans 8:18, I think it's appropriate.
For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
I'm convinced, Paul says, that the sufferings that we suffer in this present time, and some of this serving is suffering. See, suffering is not just, well, I'm the only Christian at work and they're picking on me. Suffering is I'm actually not living my own life anymore. I'm not free to do what I have chosen to serve God at the highest level. And whatever that means, in my case, moving country, in my case, having been through some of the things, I remember as a young man thinking, what would be the worst thing that could happen to me? And because I said, would I still keep serving Jesus in the midst of that? And what happened in my real life was not exactly the same, but it was just as bad as the worst thing I could have imagined. I would never have imagined it would happen. And God keeps you through all those things, you see. But if you don't have this in your mind, then it's easy to get discouraged. They're going to far outweigh. The sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Say, in me. Glory in you. That's where God wants to take you. All right, where are we going? I think we've got one more, have we? One of the reasons. Yeah, got one more slide. Have we got one more? I think we have. Is that the last one? Excellent. All right. Good. Let me just close you on a couple of points here that I've got written on these bits of paper, which is why they're flying around. A couple of little points on serving. Number one. Oh, no, there is one. There is one more on. It's not there. Mustn't have come up. All right, I'll read it out. It's all right. So serving, here's what serving. Serving is not for me to be noticed or honored. Remember that. It's not about everyone needs to see me, I'm the servant. You've got to, and that's all added to do with heart attitude. Serving is to do with making somebody else's path easier, making somebody else's role better, making somebody else's life larger, not your own. God will take care of you. Somebody say amen. So with the boss, for instance, when I was talking about in Australia, you know, we'd write a newsletter like they used to do, paper thingos every week. Most of the newsletters I wrote, but we put his name on it because he's busy, he's wherever. So I'm not writing what I think. I'm writing the best I can what he wants to say, but I'm doing the effort and I'm putting his name on it. Are you with me? That's what serving is doing. It's not until I get promoted. Serving is not, well, I'll do this for 3 months, 6 months or whatever. So God will deal with that in your heart so that actually you get to the place, if God has his way with you, where you just serve, and it doesn't really matter whether I get seen or not seen. He will work those things out in your heart so you can't, you know, if because you come in. I was like that when I started. I said, well, I'll serve, of course, because I believe the Bible and I'm going to get more rewarded. But God will work on your heart attitude. Are you with me? Serving is not soft and passive. That's important. It's strong, proactive, but yielded. And you could write those things down. Serving is not a step, oh, yes, whatever, yeah, yes, whatever. So serving is strong. Serving thinks ahead. So when I'm working for this guy, I'm thinking ahead. What does he want? What coffee does he want? What time does he want me to be there? What clothes do I need to be wearing? Has he worked hard? Has he done this? What music is he going to want on? If I'm driving him, is his wife going to be there? Do I need to put something comfortable in the seat? Whatever. All those kinds of things. I'm thinking that way. Does he want me to talk? Does he want me to not talk? So I travelled with this guy once as his wife. I remember that because his wife was supposed to fly to Melbourne on a conference. She couldn't go for whatever reason, so I got to go on her ticket. So I got on this ticket, Mrs. So-and-so, you know, and which was pretty funny. And we had a great time down there and a conference, and then I'm flying back, and he just didn't want to say anything. He's just worked hard, and I could be quite chatty. I just have to sit there and shut up. I'm not there for me. I'm not there to vent however I feel. I'm there to make his life the best it can, or her life, you know. Are you with me? This is good. You know, I know it's stretching you, but you won't find too many people talking to you like this. And it's true. It'll help you. It'll help you serve God. Serving is not soft and passive. It's strong. It's proactive. It thinks ahead, but it's got a yielded heart. And serving knows that the guy or the girl you're serving is going to make mistakes. Never lose sight of that. The final thing I want to do is show a few photographs, and there is some other bits, but we're pretty much out of time. I'm going to show you some photographs now that I am doing deliberately to impact you, to get a reaction from you. So some of that, they're probably not going to be anything you haven't seen before, but they might be. And I've screened all the kids under 18 to make sure that the parents are happy with what we're showing. So I'm going to show you some photographs of what ISIS is doing over in the Middle East. And there are some things that I don't think we're going to go too far, but it'll get progressively more... Slow down. Whoa. It'll get progressively more graphic, and then we'll stop when we get to a point. Are we there? So some of these are Peshmerga warriors. They're like the army of the Kurdish people that are fighting against these. This is pretty typical, so you can see... bombs all around the people, like this whole, what do you call that? Something bombers, what do they call them? Suicide bombers. And this is, they often dress these people in orange and stuff like this. This is what they do with all their guns. Getting shot is by far the easiest way to go with these people. Next. Same thing, suicide bombers, guns, and we're always reading out some kind of declaration of the greatness of Allah and the horror of Obama or the Western world, and why, you know, we're paying you back for this and the streets are going to run with your blood and those kind of statements. Next. Same thing. These are, I've got one of about, I don't know, I suppose there's 100 Egyptian Christians, but I couldn't get a still of it. I couldn't make it work the way I wanted to. It's a video that goes, it's just a promotional thing, really, for them. And they just march 100-odd Egyptian Christians, go through their whole rigmarole for 5 minutes, then behead them all, and then all the Mediterranean Sea is just red with all these people's blood, and they're just very proud of what they're doing. And that's what they're doing here, about to do again, just the same thing. The next one, that's horrible, because that, look at the age of the child. He's being trained by his parents or his family or whatever, and this is how they deal with people. And the last one's the most graphic one, so if you don't want anything more graphic, close your eyes now. And that one's the last one. So that's the little child that's done what he does to people in the ISIS fashion. All right, that'll do us. We better turn those off. So the reason I'm putting that up is not to be political or to hate anybody. It's to make us aware of the world that we live in. I watched some things this week that I don't ever want to see in my life in terms of people actually doing those kinds of things to people. And it's accessible enough on the internet, and there are, you know, groups that are such advocates of free speech that they're insistent that nothing should be censored at all. And the reality is that there's plenty of kids probably that we walk around in our high schools that look at this and that don't hardly sometimes think twice. But the reality is, you see, that there are people out there in our world right now this morning, hundreds of them. And the historically, factually, right now in the world, the most persecuted people groups are Christians. There's no question about that. That's just so there's just a hatred that comes, which is from a satanic spirit. And the reason I'm showing you that is because I want us to be moved to do something great with our lives. I can't watch it. I made myself watch it, and I still feel sick to the stomach when I see what these people do. And I'm not hating the people. They just deceive people. It's not about hatred. It's pointless. Hating people is pointless. It doesn't help them, and it doesn't help you. But to see, and there's hundreds of them, and children just, and I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, these are real people. These are people's fathers and mothers, and what it does to me, and the reason I showed it is because I think, my God, we need people that serve God in our generation. We've got to, see, you're not going to stop, but what can we do? That's what I ask myself. What can we do? I just can't sit down and know that that's going on and do nothing. I just can't, you know. I have fun. We gave away chocolates. We had a meat feast last night. You know, I watch TV with my wife and all those kinds of things. But I'm very careful that all the fun of the Western world that we live in, and it's pretty positive really, air-conditioned cars, fashionable clothes, go out to eat whenever you want, got to have the right hairstyle, iPhones, the whole deal. It's all okay, nice holidays. It's all okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But I don't want me, myself, to get in a place where I'm so filled with that stuff that I've lost connection with what is really going on in the world that we live in. And you know, to do something about it, you can't go there. You can't, you know, once upon a time I would have seen myself as John J. Rambo going over there, but you can't do that. But what you can do is serve the God who loves people in our life right now. That's what we can do. Serve God and love people. I want you to have the great... I believe God wants to do stuff in your life and in our church and in this town in 2016 that he's never done before. I really feel like there is something very significant. It doesn't take much to change the world, but it does take a heart that says, God, I'm just going to serve you. I'm going to put you first. That's what he's looking for. And he's got a couple of guys over there, people like Brother Andrew, Harold Eberly does thingos in there. Our guy, Sebastian, over there is serving God, and they get persecuted. None of the people in our church have been killed. But when I went there, I can't stay there too long or they'll find out I'm there and somebody will try and cause me trouble. I've got a friend, Kent Hodge, that many of you have met before, who's working in Jos in the top end of Nigeria. And his right-hand man was shot dead by the Boko Haram people, with Kent next to him in the car, shot in the head by people with guns on the side of the road. And so he's raising up new people, and he's had schools. They have schools. They care for orphans. They do all that kind of stuff. We support them as a church, and personally, Carrie and I do. We can't all do that, you see. But what we can do is take God at His word, because our God is a God of love. And what we're fighting there is not about fighting people. There's just a demonic spirit. There are going to be martyrs. It's in the Bible, it's through history, and it's just part of life. There are going to be people, and there are different people are wired differently. For me personally, it wouldn't bother me to be martyred. That's just the way I'm wired. I'd think it was a privilege, but I fully recognize that lots of people don't think that way, and I accept that, okay? I'm not asking you. But there are going to be, for the cause of Christ. There just are going to be. There's a whole big thing at play here in the world, with a God of love wanting to reach this world. And I get my car washed down the road, and I have a Peshmerga flag. I get my car washed down the road, and I chat to the guy, and he's a Peshmerga, which is the Kurdish kind of guys that are And the one of the videos I saw was of those guys, Peshmerga guys, just getting beheaded and just horrific, making three of them sit there on their knees and watch while their friend was beheaded before they were beheaded, that kind of thing. Just unbelievable. And so I go there because those guys have family and they have friends. And whether we're British or whether we're English or, you know, whether we're Australian or whatever we are, the real answer to the world's problems is to love God passionately, love people passionately, and give everything we can to serve him. I promise you this, if you give your best to God, to serve God, he will use you in the most wonderful ways. He may or he may not send you there, but there are people down your street, people around the corner, people that you work with whose lives are broken, and we sometimes think, what can I do? How do I fix that? Because we don't always feel like we have the equipment. It starts with a heart that says, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to serve you. Are you with me? That's a great life. Let's close our eyes, and if I could have our keyboard person, thanks, that'd be great. Wonderful. I want you just to take maybe 30 seconds. This is an unusual message. I'm a slightly unusual pastor. I know that. I love you. I do. I love you very much, and I want your life to be tremendously blessed. But I don't want us to get to heaven having had all the comforts of this world, or most of them, and not given our best to serve this humanity around us that God loves so much. Holy Spirit, I really want to ask you to help all of us to hear what you are saying. I've done my best, I think, but I'm sure I didn't get it all right. But I just ask you to speak to our hearts and to move our hearts and to create in us a desire to love you and to serve you and to love and to serve people in a remarkable and extraordinary way. You're doing things in our nation right now that we haven't seen the outworking of it yet, but it's very significant. I pray that every person in this room, every person that hears this podcast, that they hear your voice, your love for them, and the cry of heaven that men and women would not just meet Jesus, but that they give their lives to serve him and to honor him. I pray that you'd build that spirit in our hearts here so strongly. I want to thank you for your word that's so true and so powerful. And I want to thank you for every person here, wherever we're at in life, that you move us forward from here. And I want you to take 30 seconds and just pray quietly in your own heart to the Lord. Some of you will be like making commitments to say, God, you know, I take things much easier than I should. I complained when I realized in the light of all that's going on, I didn't have any right to complain. Whatever. I want to ask you to take this moment, just a few minutes, no, just a few seconds, and just in your heart, open up everything to the Lord. Make things right if you need to. Repent if you need to. And reaffirm and ask him to touch you in the deepest way. I don't want this done because you know, well, the pastor made us do it. It's not that. It's not that at all. It's a heart that is so moved. It's real people. And as much as there's horror in other nations, there's horror here in Staines too. We just don't see it. There's husbands beating wives. There's children that don't know who they're coming home to. There's people with diseases and sufferings and cancers and dementia that are not the way they were anymore, and they don't recognize their children. You've sent us, Lord, to serve you and to heal and to touch and to love our world. I pray you do it in Jesus' name. Would you say amen with me? Amen. Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here and letting me speak those kind of words to you. You can't do that in a lot of places. I want to wish you a really, really great Sunday. The sun has come out especially for me. God loves me so much, but you can enjoy it as well, yeah? Thanks so much, guys, servers, helpers, everybody. You did a brilliant job. There's great tea, great coffee, and great people upstairs. And this Wednesday, please, step out of your comfort zone and think of someone you can take out, invite over, or invite yourself over. And we'll see you next Sunday with Chris Brown. That's going to be a great, great day. God bless you. Thanks a lot.